All right. Well, thank you for sharing this morning, Pete, and we're praying for you and your ministry. And thank you, Lisa, for sharing with our ladies yesterday. I know that they all very much appreciated that. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. All the ladies are going, oh, no, he's going to preach on the virtuous woman today. Let me encourage you a little bit before we begin to do that. First of all, I was looking at some things, and there was a graphic that I saw this past week about church attendance. So the highest church attendance in most churches is on Easter. So number one at the top of the list, churches are mostly full during Easter. Second, Christmas. Third, Mother's Day. Then there's these all these other things, and then way down at the bottom was Father's Day. So I don't know what that's all about, but we're going to honor our moms today. Moms are absolutely amazing, aren't they? I have so much respect for my mom, my wife, all of the moms of our church. I was preparing throughout the week, as I always do, and I was sent on a little mission to go to Walmart, so Kathy asked me to go down and pick up a few things earlier in the week. And so I've got moms on my mind. I've got all that the Lord has done in providing excellent wives and mothers to our children and so on. And I'm just observing, I'm watching, I was getting my cart, and I'm watching this lady, and she has three or four kids in tow. She is organizing them. Some are in the cart, some are on the side of the cart, and she's got one in a carrier, and she's got it like this, and she's just, you know, getting them all ready to go into the store. They're organized, and I just thought, you know, what an amazing thing. What a gift. Moms have so much on their plate, and I was so impressed by this one young mom who was managing all of these kids at the same time as she was doing her shopping at the store. And I think it's true that God has given us mothers as a gift. And so this morning, I want to encourage and challenge our moms and also the rest of us as well. And so I thought it'd be fun to start today with some interesting stories about moms. These may blow you away a little bit. I was a little shocked myself. How old do you think the oldest mother on record is? Try 73 years old. Yeramati Magiyama. She became the world's oldest mom in 2019 after giving birth to twins at the age of 73. But she's now raising her twins on her own as her husband, Raja, who was 84, died of a heart attack. Can you imagine? The most surviving children, so one mom and how many babies in the belly, the Suleiman octuplets were born in 2009 in Bellflower, California. That's eight children that this poor mom carried at one time. How about the shortest interval between two children? And this kind of shocked me a little bit. Jane Bleakley gave birth to a son on September the 3rd, 1999, and then gave birth to a daughter on March the 30th, 2000. And so the babies were only separated by 208 days. How about the longest interval between two children? Elizabeth Ann Buttle gave birth to Belinda, her daughter, on May the 19th, 1956, and then she gave birth to her son Joseph on November the 20th, 1997. The babies were 41 years and 185 days apart, and the mom was 60 years old when she gave birth to her son Joseph. How about the highest recorded number of children born to one mother? This will blow you away as it did me, 69 births to the first wife of Fyodor Vasilyev of Russia, and his wife gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, 4 sets of quadruplets, and 67 of them survived infancy. But that was way back in the 1700s, so how about now, the highest number of children in modern times? The modern world record for giving birth is held by Leontina Albina from San Antonio, Chile. Leontina claims to be the mother of 64 children. And I was impressed by the lady at Walmart with three or four kids. Can you imagine Lee and Tina having to go to the store with the big tour bus of all of her children and walking and navigating through all of that? Just amazing. Moms are amazing. As we come to our passage today in Proverbs chapter 31, it is all about a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. We find that King Lemuel is mentioned here as the author. He's the author of at least the first 9 verses, but most likely the entire chapter. And notice how he begins here by identifying himself. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1 begins, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. And so as Lemuel was growing up, his mother gave him some sound advice, some sage advice. And he records this for us here in chapter 31, the last chapter in this book of wisdom that we call Proverbs. Now, we don't know much about King Lemuel other than what is revealed to us here in this chapter. We do know that the name Lemuel means for God or devoted to God. And based upon this one passage, we know that Lemuel was a king. He had a wise mother and apparently liked to write poetry. Many commentators have speculated and surmised that Lemuel is actually King Solomon. And if that's the case, then this mother that he describes here would be Bathsheba, the wife of David. And so Lemuel could be Bathsheba's pet name for Solomon. And he uses this occasion to begin to write down her motherly advice. Another theory is that Lemuel is actually King Hezekiah, which is less likely, but has been thrown out there as a possibility by some over the centuries. A third theory is that Lemuel and his mother are fictional characters that were created by Solomon as a picture of an ideal queen, a king, and a queen mother. But whoever Lemuel is, he is the author of this chapter here, and his mother's advice is wise. So notice the wisdom that he shares in verses 1 through 9. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, what, O my son, and what, O my son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. And so here in verses 1 through 9, Lemuel's mother warns him not to fall into the trap of immorality as chasing after women will sap a king's strength, verse 3. And then she warns her son against the dangers of alcohol, reminding him that a drunken king is never a good king or a good ruler. Someone who craves beer and wine will pervert justice and act lawlessly. And so instead of perverting justice, she instructs Lemuel to stand up for those in need, to exhibit the compassion of God. And so this is her advice to her son. And we think about the compassion of God. We think about the great God of the universe who is almighty and all-powerful. And yet he is all-compassionate. It is only by his grace that we are saved through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin. You think about all the things that God has on his plate, and yet at the heart of who he is grace and mercy and love and compassion. And so this mother of Lemuel emulates this same kind of compassion. We think about the attributes of God, and we think about some that are reserved only for him. These are the incommunicable attributes of God. Attributes like omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. These are attributes that belong only to God. But there are attributes of God that we are to emulate, and those are the communicable attributes of God. And we think of grace and mercy and even holiness, whereas we're not going to be completely holy like God is holy, but we're told in the scriptures to be holy as I am holy. As we see the holiness of God, we too are to be holy and loving and compassionate. And this is at the heart of the wisdom that Lemuel's mother shares here in verses 1 through 9. So then, in verse 10 through 31, Lemuel begins to describe the attributes of a virtuous woman. Now, let me just share with you, verses 10 through 31, that's 22 verses. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse, from verse 10 to verse 31, in chronological order through the Hebrew alphabet, each verse starts with a letter in consecutive order, the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so this is a poem. This is a Hebrew poem that he has written. And so with that in mind, let me read it to you, and then we're going to go through it. And today we're going to find 11 pursuits of the godly wife and mother as described for us here by Lemuel. So let's read it, and then we'll pick it apart. Verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and she makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So in the time that we have left this morning, I'm going to do what I hardly ever do. We're going to do sort of a drive-by of Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to go through this in a systematic but fairly short but direct fashion. And I want to, if you're going to take notes this morning, I want to give you 11 pursuits of a godly wife and mother. And the first one we find here is in verse 10, and it is that she strives to be excellent. Notice what he says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. And I think all of the husbands here today would say a hearty amen to that. I would rather have my wife than a bunch of rubies or emeralds or sapphires or diamonds. It depends how many diamonds we're talking about. But you understand, she's far more precious than jewels. What he's saying here is an excellent wife is out there, but they're hard to find. Striving for excellence is certainly a biblical concept. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 tells us very explicitly that we're to do everything to the glory of God. Even the mundane things of life, like eating and drinking, everything is to be done for the glory of God, excellently before God, to His honor, to His glory. Paul spoke of excellence in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, when he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." So he begins here by saying that a godly wife and a godly mother strives with all of her energy before the Lord. She strives for excellence. She desires to follow after Christ excellently and serve as a model for others to follow. Back in the book of Ruth, we learned that Ruth had an excellent reputation. Ruth 3:11 says, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all of my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." So prior to making Ruth his wife, Boaz and the whole city knew of Ruth's reputation for excellence. And so as we begin today with that sort of as the ultimate standard of striving for excellence, let me just ask you, moms, are you a woman of excellence? Do you strive for excellence in all that you do? Are you working hard to please the Lord in what you do? Or have you got to the point where you're just trying to get through the day? Husbands and children, what are you doing to encourage and appreciate your wife or your mother? Are you honoring your wife or your mother? Are you appreciating and thanking her for all that she does? Being a wife and a mother is a tough, tough job, especially for those who are seeking to do things excellently. And so first, he says that she strives to be excellent. Second, she strives to be trustworthy. She strives to be trustworthy. Look at verses 11 and 12 and then verse 23. "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all of the days of her life. Her husband," verse 23, "is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." And so a godly wife and mother is trustworthy. She's honest. She has integrity. She has reliability. She's very loyal. You can trust her. If she's married, she's an asset to her husband. The godly wife speaks well of her husband to others. He has a certain reputation among other men and other people and other leaders because of the excellence of his wife. And so first, she strives to be excellent. Second, she strives to be trustworthy. And then third, we find here that she strives to be industrious. She strives to be industrious. This is verses 13 through 16, verse 18, verse 24, and verse 27. "She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and also provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and she buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." She's seemingly on the go all of the time. A godly wife and mother works hard for her family. She's energetic. She sets the pace in the home. I think back of my mom, and it's very possible that my mom's legend may have grown over the years since her death way back in 1991, but I have such fond memories of her. And I remember my mom. She was a quiet lady, but she was a extremely hard worker. We had one toolbox in the house, and it was my mom's. My mom was our family's lawn service. She was the director of maintenance in our home. And I could be misremembering this or not remembering this accurately, but me and my brothers talk about this all the time. We all went to school one day. So all of us four kids, we went to school. And when we left, the front yard and the backyard was full of dandelions. There was paint chipping off of the garage. And there was a few other items in the home that needed to be repaired. So just in the time that we left, walked to school, stay in school, walk back, we got home, there wasn't a single dandelion in the yard. She had gotten one of those little pitchfork things, and she had popped them out all over the yard. The garage was painted, and apparently there was a small leak in the toilet, and she had taken the toilet off, replaced the wax ring, put it back on, all in the time that we were at school. My mom was an example to us kids as someone who was a hard worker. And the godly wife and mother sets this kind of an example for her family and all who are around her. She looks for ways to contribute to the family finances. Under her husband's care and direction, she serves as the manager of the house. Fourth, she strives to be fit for the task. This is a remarkable woman that's being described here. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and she makes her arms strong. And so a godly wife and mother understands the balance between spiritual health and physical health. She understands the admonition of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, which says, bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so she focuses in on her spiritual condition before God without ignoring her physical condition. She understands that her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Fifth, she strives to be a good steward. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. And so a godly wife and mother understands proper stewardship. She's wise with money. She understands that we cannot serve God and money. She's a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to her and her family. And then six, she strives to be generous. Notice verses 19 and 20. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. A distaff and a spindle, these are tools that spin yarn into thread so that she can make clothes for her home. And so the godly wife and mother is generous to others. She's satisfied with what she has. She understands that selfishness stems from ungodly pride. She understands that she doesn't have to keep up with the Joneses. She has a great commitment and contentment, and she shares her time and her possessions, and she's satisfied with what she has. More about this godly, virtuous woman we find in verses 21 and 22. In verse 27, she strives to be prepared. She strives to be prepared. She's not afraid of snow for her household. And when I was in Israel, I mean, Israel is it's a warm climate, but there are some high mountains in the northern part of Israel that we were up. You've heard of the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights were acquired by Israel from Syria, and it's a slice at the top of Israel. And that was the highest point that I think we were at when we were on our trip. And it was very windy and very cold. But down in the valleys, it was 75, 80 degrees. And so when she mentions here about the snow, there is snow. There is some snow in Israel. But she's not afraid of it. She's not afraid of the snow. For all her households are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's a godly wife and mother that anticipates things happening. She's prepared for them. She's ready for anything. And I think of when we go on vacation as a family, Kathy does all of the, primarily, except for my own clothes, she does all of the packing for our family. And so when we decided to have children long ago, we thought, you know, we're going to try, if we have the funds to do so, we're going to take our kids on a trip to somewhere that none of us have ever been. And so we were committed to that all throughout our raising of our children. Our kids have been all over the country, but it was quite the endeavor to pack three kids into a car and get everything organized. And Kathy would literally amaze me when we travel, and in little things like, you know, you name it, she would have remembered to pack it. And so we would get at our location, she'd have all this stuff, and I told her one time, I said, honestly, honey, you ought to go on that show, Let's Make a Deal. You know how they walk around and they say, does anyone have a rabbit's foot in their purse? And the lady goes, whoosh, I got one. And she goes around and asks you to. And this is all part of the fiber of moms in many ways. They're so prepared. They think ahead. They anticipate things happening. I've told our kids often that if something ever happens to your mom, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. Because she's the glue that holds everything together in our home. And this is what moms do. Number 8, she strives to be dignified. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. And so a godly wife and mother has integrity. Others have a high regard for her. They have a respect for her. She possesses an honest reputation. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a quiet and gentle spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. 9, she strives to be edifying. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. What a lesson for all of us, huh? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. With all that she's got going on, with all of this stuff that we've already considered, she's kind with her words. She uses her words to edify and to build up others. And she lives out the words of Ephesians 4:29, which says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. She strives to be edifying. Her speech exhibits good judgment and discretion. She understands Colossians 4:6, which says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Her kind actions follow her kind words. She's the real deal. She strives to be edifying. 10th, she strives to be loving. She strives to be loving. This is verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. You surpass them all. At least in the minds of her husband and her children. So many godly women who serve as examples to all of us. This is all part of what the church is to be about, right? Titus chapter 2 is very clear that the older women in the church are to serve as an example to the younger women. But if the older women aren't doing it right, they're going to be a bad example to the younger women. And so when Paul writes to Titus, he says, hey, older ladies, you have a responsibility to the younger ladies, especially in the church context where we are to be a part of each other's lives and we're to see each other in a way that is helpful and edifying. And so this is the kind of lady that is described here in Proverbs chapter 31. She has a edifying way about her. Have I given you number 10? Okay. So when we talk about being loving here, we're talking about having an intense love for others. And she's consistent here in showing that love. She loves her husband. She respects him. She honors him. She trains her children to love and respect their father and others, and especially the Lord. And then finally, sort of the capstone of the passage here is verse 30. She strives to please the Lord. She strives to please the Lord. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about this here this morning as we finish up. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful And beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What does it mean to fear the Lord? To be deathly afraid of God? Walking on eggshells our whole life, just not wanting to do anything that's going to upset God? No, this is more of a reverential awe for God. That this woman that's described here, she fears the Lord. She puts the Lord's interests first in her life. She actually loves the Lord more than she loves her husband. She loves the Lord more than she loves the children that she gave birth to. She fears the Lord above all things. She looks to him for guidance through his word, and she wants to honor him with her life because she is in awe of what he has done for her in bringing her salvation by God's grace through faith in Christ. I really think if we had a mission statement for life, for all of us, it would be something along these lines, that we are to fear the Lord all the days of our life. So if we're thinking about God and we're thinking about how we can please him and we're thinking about who he is and his majesty and how he has brought salvation to us, and we've talked about this scale thing and where all that he has done for us, our life should be commensurate with that. There should be a balance to the scale. As we've gone through Ephesians and we've talked about our lives and living for Christ and how that looks in real life. She knows that charm is deceitful. She knows that beauty is only skin deep. But this kind of a woman, a virtuous, godly wife and mother, fears the Lord. And for that, she is to be praised, because that serves as the ultimate example. And so when we go back to Titus chapter 2, that is the example that older mothers and wives are to have for younger mothers and wives. Look, the ladies that have gone through it and have done it, they're a treasure trove of wisdom. And I would encourage our younger moms to take advantage of that. Sometimes we sit back a little bit and we don't want to be pushy and we don't want to get in other people's lives and meddle in their business because, you know, we want to be asked to help. And so it's incumbent on our younger women not to wait for the older women to come to them, but to go to these ladies who have done it, who have walked with God for all these years, who have raised a family, who have loved God, who have feared God, who love their husbands. I need some help. It's hard. I got these four kids. It's tough. They're all similar age. Our house is like a madhouse. They're running around and jumping on the furniture and banging their head on the fireplace. That was what happened in our house when we were growing up. So I assume it's happening in your house as well, but you understand the idea. So when we have women or men, but especially women, as we're talking about moms today, if we have these ladies, these godly women that are serving as an example for our younger women, then we all grow together. The church is to be about building one another up, encouraging one another in the faith. And let me just encourage you. We had a pretty good crowd yesterday for our women's brunch, but get involved in our ladies' Bible studies. We have two of them. We have one on Monday mornings. We have one on Tuesday evenings. We're taking a bit of a break here through the summer months. But ladies, these are opportunities for you to be with other women, to talk about things that are important to you, to look at God's Word and to be able to pore over the Scriptures. Let me just encourage you. This should be a priority in your life, to learn more of the glories of Christ and to learn how you can serve God better. And so when you grow up, when you nurture your children, you love your husband, then you're going to be in the other seat where others can come to you and to have you help them with their life as well. You know, we read this story of this lady. Is she a real lady? There's some that say, no one's this perfect. She's like the ultimate example, some say, that the Solomon, who is actually the author, they believe, of this entire chapter, that he's putting this forth as the highest possible achievement for a mother or a wife. And that's possible. It's possible. We read all, she doesn't even turn the light out at night. She's a 24-hour mom, 24-hour wife. Some of these things we read and we just go, wow, this gal is amazing. She's raising her kids and she's planting a vineyard at the same time. I thought my mom was stellar by popping the dandelions. This lady is making clothing for the merchant ships and the different ones that come into the bay so she can sell them to make money for her family. She's really everything to her family in all these ways, and such an amazing example. But we shouldn't be surprised. Maybe this is Bathsheba. Maybe this is Solomon who writes this. Maybe Bathsheba had this pet name for Solomon, and she called him Lemuel, and he just wants to praise his mom so that people can see this wonderful example. And so maybe that's what it is. But either way, it's a reminder for us that the bar is always high in the Christian life. Don't you love that? And I've always been a competitor. I've always been someone who's been involved in competitive activities. Way too many probably, but I've been involved in competitive activities, sports, athletics, my whole entire life and existence. It gives you a different perspective about things. I've always been very goal-oriented. Well, what if the goal was for a team? What if the goal was to win 3 games? It's a 25-game season, and the goal is to win 3 games. Guys, let's try to win 3 games this year. Well, what kind of coach puts that out in front of their players? Instead, the goal is to win every game, to be excellent in everything that we do. And so I've always been goal-oriented, and so I've always liked to keep reaching. I've always liked to keep reaching. This is as high as you can get for a godly wife and mother. There's nothing above the description of this woman. This is the highest bar that is out there, and this is the bar, ladies, that you should be reaching for. You should be reaching and growing and trying to be the best mom that you can be, the best wife that you can be for God's glory. And so we have this example of this stellar woman that we look at it and we go, as a lady, we think, how in the world can anyone do this? We don't want to win 3 games. We want to reach. God is perfect and holy and righteous. And we are to be holy as He is holy. We are to fear the Lord in everything. So let me ask you, when you read this, when we go through this, ladies, does this stimulate you or depress you? Are you challenged by it? Is it something that you hear and you go, that's what I want to be? Thank you. Thank you, God, for putting this in your word. This is who I want to be. This is what I want to strive to be in my life. Or do you go, I can't do that? You been to my house? I can't do that. I got these little hooligans running around. I can't be that. I guess it's a choice, but I think it tests our spirituality to say, we'll settle for mediocre We'll settle for 3 wins, 5 wins. Or it stimulates us to think, you know what? God put this in his word for a reason. The bar is high, and I want to continue by his grace through his spirit to keep reaching. So let me just encourage you, moms and wives, you have a hard, hard job. And any husband, any child that doesn't realize that, that's their problem. It's a tough job, but your whole life is a ministry to your family. And so let me ask the husbands and children here a couple of questions as we finish up today. You know it's hard. You know it's hard. Don't make it harder. Don't make it harder on your wife. Kids, Paul especially said to obey your parents. All the parents are saying, Pastor Dave, can we get all the kids back out of children's church and bring them back in so they can hear this? Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Honor your mother and your father. So when's the last time you honored your wife? When's the last time you honored your mother? It's one thing to get them flowers on Mother's Day. It's one thing to take them out for lunch. But honoring your mom, honoring your wife each and every day, that's our responsibility, guys. And so when's the last time you thanked your wife or your mother? When's the last time you thought of ways to honor her? Not just on Mother's Day, but every day. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for bringing such a special woman into your life? Life gets busy, doesn't it? Life gets busy. Weeks pass, months pass, and we forget what's important. We forget the gifts that God has given to us, husbands. We've been given amazing wives to thank for all that they do for us and to thank the Lord. I wouldn't trade my wife for anybody. I've told her that for 34 years. Our anniversary is next month. She's a gift. She's a gift from God. How about the last time you pitched in and helped her instead of sitting on the couch? When's the last time you pitched in, helped her, encouraged her, treated her to something special? You know, I've been thinking about things all week. I've been thinking about my mom, who I lost at a young age, thinking about my own wife, been thinking about all of you ladies in our church. It's amazing what you do. We have so many ladies in our church that minister in their families, but not at the expense of ministering in the church. It's a priority in your life because it pleases God, because you fear the Lord. So let me just encourage you all today. Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for 3 wins. Don't settle for just having this existence and getting through things. Use the time that you have in your home to raise your kids to know Christ as Savior. Don't rely on the church to do that. Now, we're going to tell them about the Bible. We're going to tell them about Christ. We're going to teach them, but we're a supplement to your responsibility in the home. Parents are to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's your job. Take it seriously. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, sacrificially loving your wives in a way that honors God and lifts her up. Scripture says we're to live with our wives in an understanding way, not to add to their burden, but to love them and cherish them and thank them. The picture that Peter gives is of a fragile vase. When he says that we're to see our wives as a weaker vessel. The picture there is a thinly designed, beautiful vase that is intricately painted and is beautiful. And where do you put that? You put it on the floor so that people can accidentally run into it and kick it? Or do you put it on a high place? Do you put it up on the mantle above your fireplace? And it's something that you make sure is constantly cared for. That's the picture, husbands, that we're to have as we view the gift of our wives. She's a precious vase that we're to care for. And we're to model that for our kids. Don't let your kids treat your mom, their mom in a wrong way. You can ask our kids, I'd rather them be mad at me than to treat their mom poorly. So husbands, you have a responsibility in all of this as well. So we thank the Lord for our moms. We're here to celebrate the Lord, but we're here to celebrate the gift of moms, wives. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to your word today and we see this amazing woman, this standard for how moms and wives are to achieve. When we don't look at it lightly today, we know that you have put this marvelous example in front of us so that we can emulate her. And so, Lord, I would pray for the hearts of all of our moms today that they would see your word and say, I want to be like that. I want to fear the Lord in that way. I want to love my husband. I want to love my family. I want to serve Christ in the church. I want to be that. And then as children and husbands and men that look at these ladies as examples, that we would see how hard it is to be a mom, to be a wife, and that we would come alongside and to help and to make that easier for them, not harder. And so we thank you for this example this morning. We thank you for our church. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for our recent study in the book of Ephesians that's challenged us in big ways. And may you keep challenging us, Lord. We need to continue to reach to be holy as you are holy. Thank you. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ as Savior, that you would reach down and extend your grace to them. You would open their eyes to your truth, the truth of the gospel, and that they would embrace and believe today, repenting of their sin and placing their faith and trust in Christ and in Him alone. We thank you for a day of celebration, but every day should be a celebration of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.